We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
In this room, and can you clap your hands to the Lord wherever you're listening right now? God, Lord, we love you, God. Lord, we're so thankful to be in your house today. Welcome to Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. Welcome, everybody. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm happy to be sharing the Word of God with you today. I want to talk to my online listeners, podcasters, live streamers, wherever you are. We love you guys. We want to know where you are. We're in Plano, Texas. Where are you when you're watching this? Would you leave a comment for us? Smash that like button. Let us know that you are there. Wherever you are receiving this message, we know that God is with you. He's in the room with you, and he's going to be doing amazing things for you. Before I jump into the sermon, I also want to say hi to some kiddos that aren't able to be here. William and Joshua, those are my kids. I got Hudson here. Hi, Hudson. Guys, y'all pay attention to the sermon. Lazarus, Beatrix, I love you guys. There's Marshall's kids, love you. Scott, Fane's boys, Jono, Max, Ian, I love you guys. I miss you. I'm saying hi to you. Any of the other kids, I love you. I can't wait to give you a big hug and hang out with you soon, all right? Yeah. Don't we love our kids around here? Yeah, we do. Soon as possible, we're going to have our kids' ministry up and rolling for you guys. We want you to front and center in it. We love you all so much. What is the name of our sermon series? The same Jesus. And we're in the third week of this sermon series. In week one, we told you that the same Jesus is alive, unchanged, and returning. In week two, we told you that the same Jesus still does miracles. Today, I want to tell you that the same Jesus offers his same love. The same Jesus offers you today his same love. Love. Somebody said the same Jesus, the same love. This is a very personal message right here when we're talking about the love of Jesus. Anybody feel like it's a little personal? All right. I tell you, it's really personal because I can talk about the power of Jesus, but it doesn't hit my heart like when I talk about the love of Jesus. Right. I can talk to you about his truth and his plan being unchanged, and that's great. That's powerful, but it's a little different when I'm talking to you about his love being unchanged. We could talk about his word never passing away. And all that's absolutely true, and that's powerful. But it hits me personally, in my heart, when I talk about the unchanging love of Jesus Christ. In fact, I don't know what gets more personal than that. Say amen if you agree. Amen. I don't know what gets more personal than talking about how Jesus loves me. We knew this song growing up if you grew up in church. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Oh yes, Jesus loves me. Come on, sing it. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Yeah. Amen. Some people might look at that as that's a little childish. Oh, I would tell you there's not a deeper theological truth than Jesus Christ loves you. There's not a deeper truth than that. That is all there is right there. This is a very personal message, and I'm telling you today that the love Jesus has for you has never changed, and it will never change. Amen. Jesus has loved me in the past. I want to talk to you about Jesus loved me. Can you point to a moment where you realize Jesus loved you? Can you point to that moment? Can you think of a way that Jesus has loved you in the past? Yesterday, last week, last year, last decade. There are more examples than we can name, but you ought to try to name them anyway. He created us, and he created the whole world. Everything was made by him and for him. Colossians 1:16 says that. He came to earth to bear our sins upon the cross so that we would be reconciled and brought back to God. That's how he has loved us. He called you and he drew you. Is that the truth? That's an example of how Jesus has loved you. He forgave you. Anybody forgiven by Jesus? Yes. That is one of the ways he has loved you. He was patient with you. He heard you when you prayed. He saw you and he loved you. And there are times in life I didn't know where I was going, where I was in life, but I've never been outside of the eyesight of Jesus Christ. He has always seen me and he's always been drawing me near. That is just some of the ways that Jesus has loved me. Before today's over, you ought to thank Jesus for the ways, all the ways that he has loved you. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. This is my dad's favorite verse in the Bible. I've always known this verse was his favorite. Here it is, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus Christ loved you, and he gave himself for you. Jesus, the Son of God, he loved me and gave himself for me. Everything Jesus did was out of love for you and for the rest of humanity. We all know that verse, for God so loved the world. I want to tell you, I have run into way too many people that understood that God loved the entire world, but didn't understand that God loved them. I've had more than a few conversations with people who said, no, I just wanted to shake them. No, don't you understand? He doesn't just love the person across the street. Yes, he loves him, but you're included in the world. He would have done it if it were just you. He would have gone to the cross if it were just for you. Jesus loved you. In the past, Jesus loved you. Before any of us were born, Jesus loved us. In fact, the reason we are able to love Jesus is because he first loved us. Anybody know that verse? It's 1 John chapter 4 and 19. We love because he first loved us. I got news for you. You didn't love Jesus first. He loved you before you ever even thought about loving him. Most people don't need convincing that Jesus loved them. Most people that I know don't need convincing of that. We all have to be convinced, however, that Jesus still loves us because of one three-letter word. What would that three-letter word be?
Sin.
Sin. Everyone said sin. Sin. So sin happens. We know Jesus loved us, but then we sinned. So now what? You ever been in that place? Have you ever thought that way? Have you ever named your sins and thought, no, now I've blown it. Now he can't love me anymore. Well, first, some people have to understand what sin is. What is sin? Sin is any action that builds a wall between you and Jesus, brings a separation in your relationship between you and Jesus. Isaiah 59 and 2 says it, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face so that he will not hear. What has separated you from your God? Your sin. Your iniquities have done it. Lying, stealing, murder, hatred, adultery, lust, disobedience, a lack of faith, a lack of love, these are all sins. Do you agree? Yes. They all put a separation between us and God. Sure, Jesus loved me, but I've done some really bad things, Pastor. You don't know about the things I've done. I've done bad things. I've done shameful things. I've done such things that if you knew about them, you wouldn't want to hang out with me. You wouldn't want to be seen with me. You might not want me on your church stage, or maybe even in your sanctuary. Well, I want to tell you that I've done bad things. I've done bad things. I've spoken bad things, and I've certainly thought bad things. You are not alone in that at all. I clearly admit that to you. Jesus loved me, but there have been times in my life where I thought, surely I've messed it all up with my sin. Maybe that's you today. Maybe if that's you, oh, you get ready because this is going to be good. If these are thoughts you've ever had, I want to tell you, you need to listen up today, because we misunderstand how Jesus loved us in the first place. Jesus loved us not because we're perfect. That wasn't the point. So if you think, oh no, he loved me, but now I've done gone and messed it up, you are thinking that he loved you because you are in a perfect state or something, that you had earned his love, and oh, I just see the beauty in their life, and now I'm going to love them. No, Jesus loved us not because we're perfect. In fact, he loved us in spite of our imperfections. Right. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. You see, it's actually your sins, the presence of your sins in your life, and Jesus going to the cross for you anyway, that is the very definition of love. Herein is love. There it is. This is what love is. It didn't say this is love that we never failed God. This is love that his love never failed us. That is the picture. Even though we were sinners, he went to the cross. Are we tired of this message, church? Or is this our heartbeat? The love of Jesus. That's what it's all about. And when we point to love, we don't point to our actions. We point to the actions of Jesus on the cross. That is what love is. Love today wasn't you singing. Love today is what Jesus did on the cross. Love today wasn't that you abstained from sin. Love today, the real example of love, was Jesus sacrificing himself for your sins on the cross. Jesus sacrificed himself for our sin out of love. And this is what love is. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. You want to see love? Don't look at your pastor. Look at the cross. The cross of Jesus, where a sinless man died for sinful mankind. And he did it all from a heart of love. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. Verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Can you read that last sentence with me? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is God demonstrating his love for us. I want to tell you that sin can't stop the love of Jesus.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Sin cannot stop his love. If that's foreign to you, then man, did you need to hear that sentence? So I'll say it one more time. Sin, your worst thought, your worst action, the worst thing you ever said, none of it has ever stopped the love of Jesus. Your sin, my sin, doesn't matter. Cannot stop his love. Jesus loved you and he continues to love you. Let's talk about this. Jesus loves you. He loves me. Right now in the present, Jesus loves you.
Yes.
Isaiah 49 and 16 says, see, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. That's your Jesus. He's engraved you on the palms of his hands. When you think about the hands of Jesus, what do you think about? You think about those nail scars. His nail scars are a constant reminder. He wears them as an engraving of his love for you. Matthew chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus said this, and even the very hairs of your head are numbered. He's talking about sparrows. He says, don't you know God sees every time a sparrow falls? Don't you know that you're more important than sparrows? And then he declares that God has numbered the very hairs of your head. That's how you are loved. That's how intently he looks after you. Psalm 56 and 8. You keep track of all my sorrows, Lord. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. Have you ever felt like God wasn't paying attention? Gosh, I felt that way so many times. Let me tell you, he's always paying attention. Yeah. He keeps track of all your sorrows. He doesn't just remember that they happened. It says he collects them. They are near and dear to him. He has saved every one of your tears. Book of Revelation, it says that there are these vials of the prayers of the saints. Could be that those are where he stores your tears. You know what he does with that vial? What he does with those bowls? He pours them out on the devil and it defeats him. He has taken effort to keep track of every tear, and he will fight every last battle for you. Jeremiah 31 and 3. The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Do you understand that Jesus' love for you is an everlasting love? Do you know that his kindness is unfailing? Over and over in the New Testament, there's a phrase that shows up. Maybe you've noticed when you've read through the Gospels. If you haven't ever read through the Gospels, it's a good idea to go read that. Go do it. Amen. In the New Testament, Jesus saw people with tremendous needs. He answers our shortcomings. He answers the problem. He answers the hurt with this phrase. Here's the phrase. He had compassion on them. Or it says it this way. He was moved with compassion. Raise your hands if you ever saw that in your Bible. Yeah. It shows up many times. Shows up many times in the Gospels. Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 14:14, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. Matthew 15:32, Jesus called his disciples and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and they have nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry. Matthew 20 and 34, Jesus had compassion on them and he touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and they followed Jesus. Mark 6:34, when Jesus landed, saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching many of them. James chapter 5 and 11 says it this way, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Is Jesus full of compassion and mercy? Oh, I want to talk to the person today that thinks when Jesus looks at them that he's angry. I want to talk to you. Because when he looks at you, he's not furious at you. He's moved with compassion. When he looks at you, he's not like, well, let me count all the terrible things they've done. No, Jesus looks at you and he's filled with love and he thinks of all the things he could do for you. That's my Jesus. That's the very same Jesus that walked those dusty streets nearly 2,000 years ago. That same Jesus is still moved with compassion for you today. Jesus loved me. Jesus loves me. Jesus will love me. You believe that? You agree with that today?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Jesus will love you. Hebrews chapter 13 and 5, it says this, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. That sounds like a future promise, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know one thing. God tomorrow, Jesus Christ, is not going to leave, and he's not going to forsake us. Matthew 28 and 20, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, Jesus said these words, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Revelation 21, verse 4. This is towards the end of your Bible. This happens. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And in this moment, Jesus Christ is going to make all things new. The very same Jesus who keeps all your tears in the bottle, he's going to pour them out on the enemy. He's going to look at you, and he is going to wipe away your very last tear. That's a Jesus that's coming in the future. But his love for you is right now. Just the same as it will be then. Just as the same as it was. Because Jesus loved me. Jesus loves me. And Jesus will love me. Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
What am I talking about? I'm talking about this. The same Jesus, the same love. The same Jesus who called a bunch of outcast fishermen that nobody paid any mind to at all. He called them out to follow him. That same Jesus has the same love for you today. You believe that? The same Jesus who healed a group of lepers. Everybody ran from the lepers. In fact, the lepers had to announce themselves unclean, and then everyone went, pew! They were out of there because they quarantined themselves. Worse than COVID-19 ever could have been was leprosy.
Right.
That same Jesus healed those men.
Yes.
And that same Jesus has the same love for you today. You think Jesus is afraid to touch you? No, he's not. The same Jesus who knelt to the ground and wrote with his finger, chasing off the accusers and rescuing the woman that was caught in the act, that same Jesus has the same love for you today. He wants to stand between you and your accusers. He wants to rescue you. He wants to lift you up to your feet and say, go and sin no more. The same Jesus who spoke to a small man in his tree. What was that man's name?
Zacchaeus.
He said, Zacchaeus, come down. Today, I'm going to sup with you in your house. We're going to have a relationship, you and me, and Zacchaeus. That same Jesus, he knows your name. That same Jesus knows where you are in the crowd. That same Jesus loves you with the very same love. The same Jesus who was betrayed and forsaken and called for the very betrayers and the forsakers to return to him. He said, go tell the others and Peter. Peter, who had denied him three times before the cock-a-doodle-doos, he called them back to him. He didn't call them back to show them what for, to backhand them. He called them back because he loved them.
Amen.
That same Jesus, he's calling you back. That same Jesus, he loves you with the same love. The same Jesus who saved a man named Saul. You know, Christians shouldn't believe like in like cold-blooded murder, like, right? That's kind of in the Bible. But I'm sure there were Christians that thought, man, it would be so good if this dude were just dead. Right? That sometimes that's how we think as humans. Man, it would just be so much easier if that person, I don't know, Lord, you took the breath of life out of them. Jesus saved that man named Saul. He washed away all his sins, filled him with the Spirit of God, and gave him a new mission in life. He loved this man named Saul. If you don't recognize that name, maybe you recognize the Apostle Paul. The same Jesus, he loves you the very same. Even if you're going against him, he looks at you in love. The same Jesus who wept at the tomb of Lazarus. The same Jesus who looked at Jerusalem, the place he was about to be killed, but he looked ahead in time and he knew bad things were coming to those people. He wept there too. That same Jesus, he looks at us. He weeps for us. That same Jesus, he weeps for us. He has the same love for you today. He's moved with compassion. He's moved with compassion. Jesus is moved in his heart with love for you today. The same Jesus who loved me when I was 6 years old. Remember a day I was 6 years old. Hudson, you remember being 6 years old?
I am six.
Oh, you are six. My gosh, I forgot my own son was six. You listen, Hudson. There was a time I was 6 years old and I went to a church. I went down to the front of that church and I repented. I asked Jesus to forgive me of all my sins. My sins consisted of one sin I knew. It was grievous sin because I had stolen someone's Hot Wheel car. I went down to that altar and I just thought, I don't know if he could ever forgive me of something like this. Jesus, would you forgive me? I'm sorry I stole that boy's car. It says, thou shalt not steal, and I just heard about that. Forgive me of my sins. And I bawled. I bawled. Jesus, please forgive me. Jesus, please save me from a place called hell. I don't want to go to hell because of a stupid car. And it was a busted up one too. It was like all busted up. Why did I steal that car? I repented of stealing a Hot Wheel car from a classmate. Fast forward. Now I'm 18. I want to tell you that I remember coming to an altar with such more severe things than a Hot Wheel car. Fast forward, 30. Fast forward to today, 40 years old. I want to tell you that I have need to repent of things that are much more damaging than a Hot Wheel car. I've said things that hurt people. Oh, yes, I have. I've said things that hurt my very own children. Said things that made people feel unloved by me. And I can't believe I did it, but I did it. And I've thought things that I'm ashamed of. Oh, absolutely. And don't act like you're any different, right? We have thought things that are ridiculous and awful. The things I didn't say, I thought to say them. And many of my actions have fallen so short of his holiness and fallen short of being a good person. The things I've said, the things I've thought, the things I've done. But the same Jesus who loved that six-year-old boy with the Hot Wheel, the same Jesus loves me with the same love right now, today? Do you have a hard time envisioning that? Do you have a hard time picturing that about yourself? Are you thinking that there was a time in my life I can imagine Jesus loving me, but now, you know, I've gone too far. I don't know if I can see it today. You listen to me. I want to tell you that the same Jesus who loved me back then, he loves me today, not because I earned it, but because he is that wonderful. His love is that good. The psalmist said it this way, his love is better than life. The best thing I've ever found in life was the love of Jesus Christ. If I stacked all my life of living against one moment of his love, oh, his love wins over all my life. His love is better than life. Hebrews chapter 4, 16 says this, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Can you approach God's throne in confidence? I want to tell you, I can, because I'm confident in the love of Jesus Christ. I'm confident that he loves me. When I pray, I'm not worried about how he's going to respond. I know he's going to respond in love. Every time. Every time. I want to tell you that Jesus knows you intimately. Intimately, he has the numbers of your hair numbered. Jesus loves you infinitely. He's a yesterday, today, and forever kind of God. He loves you infinitely. His love is eternal. He's eternal. God is love. His love is eternal. He loves you infinitely. I want to tell you that Jesus is not mad at you. Jesus is madly in love with you. That's how he feels. I want to give you four U's right here. The love of Jesus is unconditional. It doesn't change even if you change. It doesn't change with the seasons. His love is unconditional. His love is unchanging. Doesn't change. He doesn't grow tired of you. That's not it. It is unchanging love. Three, it is unequaled love. No greater love has a man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. And then he tells us, "You are my friends." His love's unequaled. You've never found a person that loves you like Jesus Christ loves you. Four, it's unmerited. It's unmerited. It means you don't deserve it. You can't even deserve it. Even if you set out, "I'm going to earn one moment of his love," you could never do it. Adrian, you couldn't do it. His love's unearnable. It's greater than you could ever earn. It's unmerited. It's unconditional, unchanging, unequaled, and unmerited. So, let us then approach God's throne with what? With confidence. I want to tell you, you don't have to approach his throne with anything but confidence today. Could you approach his throne with confidence? Confidence that he loves you? In a moment, we're going to pray. I want to invite people in this room to come talk to God. If you want special prayer, if you want somebody to come pray with you, you come right here in the middle, and I'll pray for you. I'll be very careful about coronavirus, all that stuff, but I want you to be prayed for. But everyone in this house, I want you to pray. And everyone that is watching this, listening online, I want you to pray. I want you to approach God's throne with confidence. We have places in the Bible where people walked into the throne room of the throne room of a king inappropriately, and they were punished for it. You know this? It's in your Bible. You got to be careful just walking in the throne room of any king. If you just try to run into a governmental building, be it like the governor's mansion or, heaven forbid, the White House, if you tried to just, I'm going to find my way into the Oval Office, you would be gunned down really quickly. You can't approach those places no matter your confidence level. But I want to tell you, the throne room of God, He's invited you to come into it with confidence. With the confidence that He loves you. I'm going to begin to pray for us all over this house. Let's talk to God. Let's come into this altar and let's talk to Him. If you know somebody who has not received the love of Jesus, why don't you pray for them? They need the love of Jesus. If you received the love of Jesus a long time ago, but now your thoughts are like, maybe He doesn't love me like He used to, I want you to call out to Him. I want you to get a hold of His love today. If you're in this place and you don't know that Jesus loves you, we want to pray with you. God loves you. Maybe you understand that God loves you, but you've kind of taken it for granted. As we're singing, could you just thank the Lord for His love? Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank You for everybody. They are loved by Jesus. God, You came to earth to save them. Lord, You came to earth because You love them. Jesus, Your love for them is unchanged. Your love for them is absolutely the same. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for the backslider who is far from You, who has walked away from You. I speak to them that they are still loved by You. Friend, Jesus still loves you. Receive His love right now and love Him all the same. Tell Him that you love Him. Father, Lord, we thank You, Jesus. Cover our city in Your love, Lord. Cover our nation in Your love. Cover the world in Your love, God. Cover our children, our family, God. Cover my heart in Your love, Jesus. Lord, we want to come boldly before Your throne of grace right now in Jesus' name. Come on, let's talk to God. Don't tune out. Tune in right now to this moment. Talk to the Lord. He is with us in this house. He's with you in your house. Yes, God.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.